Welcome to our 600th episode in 6th year at Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I thought it would be fun to start out the new year of 2022 with a presentation I gave to a Community of Christ group over Zoom and PowerPoint. So we're going to talk about some of the Book of Mormon geography theories. We'll start with the Middle East, when we'll make our way to Africa. You probably haven't heard of that theory, so it's going to be a fun conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check it out. This is a little bit of an unusual role for me. Usually I'm talking to people that are the experts. And tonight you're listening to me like I'm going to have the answers. So I'll do my best. But what I thought would be fun here is to kind of navigate the many different Book of Mormon geography theories. And so I'll just start out and say I don't endorse any particular one of these. You know, Gospel Tangents, I kind of like to view a 360-degree view of Mormonism. And so that includes, you know, many of the different branches of the Restoration. And just like with the Book of Mormon, I like to look at all the theories. And so I know we kind of go over different ones each week, but I thought I'd kind of give an overview of all of the different theories. So here we go. So what I thought we could do is kind of start a little bit out with Middle Eastern geography. Most of this comes from a film put out by BYU called Journey of Faith. They've got the DVD there. And they seem to think that the Frankincense Trail seems to be the likely route that Lehi and his family proposed. And so I've got a link there if you want to watch that. It's pretty good. It's definitely well done video. And there's a link there. And one of the what proponents would call a bullseye is where in 1 Nephi 16:34, it came to pass that Ishmael died and was buried in a place which was called Nahum. And so that's one of the best spots that we have for Book of Mormon geography. And it talks about it. There are several quotes in there that this Nahum is on the Frankincense Trail. I might go out of order here. I wanted to show a little bit on the map here. So on that left map, you can see that basically they left Jerusalem, headed mostly south down to the Wadi. Well, actually, where it crosses, where that word Timnah there, they kind of cross that the river there, and they're on the western side of the Red Sea, and that's where they probably joined up with the Frankincense Trail. If you look at the middle map there, you can see that the Frankincense Trail goes into the Sinai Peninsula, but that's really where Lehi and his family probably joined that into Arabia and then took a left turn there at on that third map at the bottom there and headed. Now, there's a few different sites there for different potential harbors for Nephi's harbor. But, of course, in the interest of giving all perspectives, of course, not everybody believes Nahum is a bullseye. John Hamer left a comment and said, it should come as no surprise or no shock to us that Nahum, which is spelled with a U instead of an O, a Hebrew prophet in the Bible, has a Semitic name. It should therefore come as no shock that there are places in Semitic-speaking countries that share that name, or at least the consonants, NHM. Of course, Hebrew a lot of times leaves out a lot of the vowels. And so John says, when I first wrote about Nahum on a bulletin board, did a quick test. I said to myself, they speak Arabic in Iraq. Let's see if there's a Nahum in Iraq. And a quick Google search picked up a place called Nahum in the Mason province, immediately south of Al-Amarah. In other words, if the Book of Mormon had said that Lehi and his party traveled past Babylon, there was another potential Nahum bullseye waiting in Mesopotamia. Another Google search shows that historically there was a town called Nahum in Lebanon, halfway between Tyre and Acre. If Joseph Smith had sent Lehi to America via Phoenicia, there would have been another bullseye. So He basically goes on to say it's not really a bullseye. He questions whether it's even noteworthy, given one the entire volume of large Semitic country in which to find a Semitic root. There's a Nim in Arabia, which is not precisely a match to Nahum, but you know the three letters match. And so anyway, not everybody is convinced, but in Journey of, you know, this is of course where Ishmael died and was buried in the place of Nahum on the frankincense trail. So anyway, that's kind of the most likely route and probably the best archaeological evidence for the Book of Mormon. There's a couple of possible ports in Yemen. I know you mentioned we have George Potter coming up in a few weeks. I spoke with George, it's probably been about 3 years ago. He's done a lot of work. He thinks that the harbor is called Korori in Yemen. There's another theory promoted by Warren P. Aston called Kor Kofut. His book is called In the Footsteps of Lehi. I've got a link to his book there. And of course, George has a book, Lehi in the Wilderness. And of course, I've got the interviews you can see there on my website. And honestly, those are pretty close together. Both of them are really good potential harbors for where Nephi built his ship. That's that. And I'll just say, if you guys have any questions, if you want to interrupt me, you know, go ahead and ask questions as we go along here. But I'll just keep going. So in Journey of Faith, the interesting thing is basically, if you look at this place here on the left, that's probably where Nephi's harbor was, either Kor Kofut or Kor Rori. They believe that they basically hug the land, going down by India. And you can see here, according to Journey of Faith, they go right by the Malay Peninsula. So we'll be talking about that in a few slides here in a minute. And then basically make the jump across to the Americas. And of course, it's kind of funny because they think they're all land huggers here, but then obviously when you get out to the Pacific Ocean, there's you're going to have to go over some open water eventually to get to the Americas. So then the question is, well, where did they go? So I'm going to start kind of with the historical case, which was a hemispheric model. I think, I don't know how it is in the community of Christ. I think there's a lot of people in the LDS church that probably still imagine this as kind of a model. You've got your narrow neck of land here, kind of Colombia, you know, Panama, that area. Although you will notice here, if you look closely at the map, the narrow neck there between the North and South America is actually kind of an east-west orientation rather than north-south. So that's kind of interesting. So of course, the pros of the hemispheric model, that's pretty much what the early saints and current members probably still think. And everybody thinks about the narrow neck of land being in near Panama. The problem is the distances don't match. And of course, we've got a big problem with DNA that doesn't match. It seems that most of the Native Americans that we've done DNA testing on seem to match kind of a Siberian Asian migration, probably up by the Bering Strait in Alaska. So this model has pretty much fallen out of favor. John Sorensen has put together a book. And so he says, really, we need to come up with kind of an internal map. And this is the cover of his book here, Mormon's Map. You can see kind of a narrow neck of land, kind of a north-south orientation. So this map is based on internal evidences of the Book of Mormon. John L. Sorensen is probably the most respected expert on Book of Mormon theories. Of course, he believes in kind of a Central American limited geography model. I'm going to kind of start with Sorensen, and then at the end of the presentation, I'll kind of end with him as well. He does address some of the other theories as well. And if any of you are interested in that book, I've got a link to it there. But that's kind of the idea of what we think based on the internal evidences of the Book of Mormon, what Mormon's map probably likely looked like. So I thought I would first start off with a very different theory, the African theory by Embe Melikan. So this is kind of an interesting theory. Obviously, it's not in the Americas. So I will say this, you know, we did see if Nephi left Yemen, it would be a lot easier to go to Eritrea or Ethiopia than any of the other places. So it kind of has that advantage of being a relatively short trip. You can see Eritrea is on the border of the Red Sea. So you're kind of still staying within the Middle Eastern model. Melikan has written a couple of books, the African Bible. This one on top, I think, is the first edition. The one on the bottom is the second edition. I looked on Amazon. It was like the top one is like $800. So I don't think anybody's going to be buying that one. I think it's basically the same book. They've just got two different covers. But he basically thinks that the Book of Mormon took place in Africa. He says the Sabaeans are the Nephites and the Agazians are the Lamanites. He kind of also believes that the Bible took place in Africa. So he definitely seems to have an African bias there. You can actually preview the book. I've got a Google link here. You can read. He's got another book called 80 Reasons Why the Book of Mormon is an African Bible. So from what I understand, he's just kind of read the Book of Mormon on his own. He's not a member of any restorationist church, but he believes it is the Word of God. So this book, 80 Reasons Why the Book of Mormon is an African Bible, is available at that link. I've got a rebuttal from the Scholars Archive at BYU where they question a lot of his assumptions. Melikan is not a scholar. It's probably the least scholarly of any of the theories out there. And so that's kind of what it's got going against it. But I want to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of all of the different theories. Pros: Eritrea, Ethiopia are relatively close to Egypt and Israel, for that matter, and Yemen. So it would have been a lot easier trip. I will say, now this isn't part of his theory, but there is a tradition that the Lost Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Queen of Sheba to Ethiopia, and she was, of course, wife of King Solomon. Of course, we've lost the Ark of the Covenant, but there's a tradition that goes past centuries, I believe, that the Ark is located in Ethiopia, and of course, they won't let anybody look at it. That kind of is a little bit of a pro. Another thing with regards to Africa, there is a DNA link. Unlike most of the other theories, there's a Cohen haplotype, which is basically kind of a gene that is common to modern day Jews. And it was found among the Lemba tribe. Now, the problem is the Lemba tribe is found in Zimbabwe and South Africa. Melikan seems unaware of this and likes to focus on Ethiopia and Eritrea. But if we would look at Africa, you know, the Horn of Africa, the Southern Africa, especially South Africa, if you're going to make a case for the Book of Mormon being in South Africa, you're going to have a lot better chance with the DNA link. The other interesting thing about the Lemba tribe is a lot of their customs are very Old Testament, that they've really kept a lot of the Old Testament customs. Interesting thing, they claim that they left Jerusalem around 600 BC, which would kind of match Lehi, but there's not a lot of other matches as far as I'm aware of. And of course, the skin of darkness makes a lot more sense if the Lamanites intermarried with local Africans, that would of course make a lot more sense. Cons of the theory. He's not a scholar. He's not even a Latter-day Saint. You know, I guess you can take that as a pro or con. He also seems to believe the Bible occurred in Africa. He's very unfamiliar with LDS scholarship on geography. Some of his language connections are pretty specious and weak, I would say. And he has no idea how the plates got to New York. So, so that's kind of a little summary of the African theory.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. In our next conversation, I'm going to talk about the New York Great Lakes theory of the Book of Mormon.
The one that I review that I'm familiar with is can be found at bookofmormongeography.org. With this theory, it's kind of a limited geography theory in the fact that it basically that takes place among the Great Lakes. You can see between the lakes. Those lakes could be called seas. The Dead Sea in Israel is much smaller than the Great Lakes. So if you refer to the Great Lakes as seas, you could argue that.
For those of you who are interested in the entire interview uncut without any interruptions, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview for just $5 a month. Also, we have other tiers. If you'd like to subscribe on our website at gospeltangents.com, click on the yellow subscribe button and you can subscribe for $10. You can also do that on Patreon and get a PDF transcript. We've also got some other ones for $15 and $20 if you'd like to get those as well. If you're interested in individual transcripts, go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see our past interviews there in paperback form. So just check out Gospel Tangents. We're always updating those. For the latest updates on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Gospel Tangents, and you can see our latest updates there. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And please give us a 5-star rating for those of you who listen to audio only. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.